Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. God designed the soul as an indivisible unit, meaning it cannot be split into different personalities. Anyone holding to this belief needs to answer a common sense question. If a soul could be split, which soul fragmentation would Jesus save? Traumas, mind control, and abuse can cause soul damage, leading to disruption of the endocrine system and a chemical imbalance. Such prolonged disturbances in the soul often lead to sickness and death. The good news is that Jesus has a solution to every predicament. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be speaking today about spiritual versus physical. We're talking about the soul. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to go an in-depth study of the soul. And so we have an outline, and I'm going to follow that and explain it to you as we found this out, the teaching from the Bible. So let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that, Lord, I have the privilege of preaching the gospel. We have the privilege of having a church that we can do a webcasting, Father God, that goes out to the United States and to other countries. And that we have a platform. And I'm asking you right now, Holy Spirit, anoint me. Anoint each one listening so that, Father God, you'll be able to grab and understand who we are, how things work in us, and why things are happening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What I have here in this outline, now I have a master's degree in theology. I spent 3.5 years at the seminary, so I had to have a college degree to get in there, then I got a master's degree. But in that seminary, and in all seminaries and Bible colleges, they are simply not talking about the soul. The soul is something that is not, there's no teaching on that. And I liken it to this. I remember when I was in high school and we had to take biology, and we had pictures, actually, images of the human body. They had done, cut up, open, and showed lungs and heart and so on. And we learned everything about the physical body. And this is what happened in most churches. They learn everything about the physical body. We know how to get saved and so on. But no one talks about the soul. It's the same thing that if we would do a study, we want to find out the traffic study. How can we improve traffic? Less accidents, flowing better. So we do a study of automobiles, trucks and buses. And we learn everything about the cars, about the trucks, the buses. And if you remember, we have gone a long way. We have put in, when I came here to this country in 63, we didn't have to wear seat belts. Matter of fact, there were no seat belts, some of the cars. There were no airbags. There was a lot of things that we didn't have. And so they begin to develop that. But no one has ever studied drivers. We study the vehicles, but we have never studied the driver, because the car doesn't crash itself. It's the driver. The driver is the one actually that does the damage. And they don't study that. We just study the cars. When you pass from this earth, and everyone in this room, everyone watching me, you had relatives, people you knew that died. You've been to many funerals. You've seen coffins. You've seen urns if they were cremated. And you know that there's a body, or there's the ashes of the body, and the person is not there. And we simply says, well, the person went to heaven, or they went to hell if they were not saved. But what in the world goes to heaven? Your physical brain is going in the grave. So what are you thinking with? You have a soul body. We're going to be talking about that. And the soul body is the real you, not the physical body. So let's start on page number one here. And I said, there are no soul altars. I do not believe there's anything such as soul fragmentation or altars. God created Adam as a triune being with a physical body, a soul, and a spirit. In Hebrews 4:12, we read this, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And heart means soul. The pump, you have a pump. I got a pump. Everyone got a pump. That's a pump. And we knew in the 1980s, they started replacing hearts. We had heart transplants. So today, a lot of people have heart transplants. You take the heart out, put another one in from another person, and it doesn't change the personality of that person to get a new heart at the blood pump. So, the thoughts and intents of the soul. The soul and the spirit does not have two distinctive personalities. As a Christian, I have a soul that has been given a spiritual component in the form of born-again spirit, which makes it possible for me to communicate with God in spirit and in truth. In John 4:24, Jesus said this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When I was conceived on this earth, God had created a soul, soul body, soul brain, and everything else. But I had a dead spirit. And until I was born again, I had a soul with a brain, but a dead spirit. And every person is not born again, they have a dead spirit. What does the spirit do? It's with a spirit that you communicate with God. Let me try to illustrate that for you. I'm standing here today in front of the cameras and this microphone. You see my physical body. I'm speaking to you about biblical truth. That does not come from my soul. That comes from my spirit. My spirit is hooked up to the Holy Spirit. I got an outline here, but at the same time, I'm giving information on the spot when I'm standing here. The Holy Spirit, give it to my spirit, and it comes out through my mouth, and you can hear it. So when we come to God and want to worship Him, we cannot come with our soul. We have to come in the Spirit. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. The soul consists of a spiritual brain and body that is just as tangible as a physical body, but invisible to the human eye. At the death of a believing Christ, the soul spirit is taken to heaven. The soul is a real person, and in heaven it is not encumbered by the physical body anymore. The newly freed soul can walk, talk, see, think, and still retains the memories and skills learned on this earth. In Revelation 6, verses 9 and 11, we read this. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge your blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said to them they should rest yet a little while, a little season, unto their fellow servants also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now, if you got a robe, you don't hang a robe in thin air. So they had soul bodies. In heaven, the soul bodies are solid. The robes are solid. They're white robes. They had a memory. They wanted revenge. They could think. They could talk. The physical body is a replica of the soul body. In the book of Revelation, we are given a picture of life in heaven. We discover that the souls who once lived in human bodies on earth are still able to stand on their own. They have a head, can think and reason with their soul brain. There's also a torso with arms and hands, as well as legs and feet. They are able to speak and to praise God. And we read here from Revelation chapter 7. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongue, stood before the throne of God, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, fell before the throne on their face, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sits on the throne shall dwell them among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountain of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. I want to give you this picture now. I'm standing here with my body today, in front of this pulpit here. I got my Bible here, my outline. Someday, my body will fall to the ground. I will step out of it. I will catch a flight to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I will have a body that looks similar to what you see here. Except, I got a few years on this body. I got about 85 years on it. The soul does not age. That's why you can be 90 years old and you feel young. Because you are. The car is old. You got a few miles on it. And if you've been eating a lot of junk food, of course you've ruined the car. But the soul is forever young. You and I will never age in heaven. After we've been there for 10,000 years, we will look as good as when we were 20. We will never age. And that is how I want you to start thinking, that inside of you is the real you that is going to heaven. The body is going to the morgue. Yeah, that's true. I mean, hey, body, you're going to the morgue. But I'm living inside. I'm going to heaven. Okay, let's read it from the outline now. The physical brain in the human body is like a computer that the soul uses in order to function and communicate on earth. I told a little bit about it last week. The physical body is like a car, but much more complicated. I have a physical brain made of proton. It's a living physical brain up here. That physical brain, and I also got a brain stem in the back of my neck. And the brain stem is an extension of this computer, and it controls the heartbeat, the breathing, the blood pressure, digestion of food. I am automatically run. I have to feed myself. I cannot sit at a table and say, okay, food, get inside my body. No, I had to cook it, I had to use it, I had to stick it in here, I got to chew it, I got to swallow it. But once I swallow it, I don't have to think about it anymore. I got an intricate system here that digests it, puts waste out, liquid waste, solid waste, get the nutrients, get into my blood, carried by blood cells, and everything is absolutely, totally automatic. And that's wonderful. I said it last week, I say it again. I got two cameras up here. And with these cameras, I can scan you guys and I can see you. And in the computer back here, there's a brain that takes the picture that I see, translate that, and put it into my soul brain. Now, the camera has a water system called tears. You don't control your tears. There's glands up here inside that produces the finest liquid and keep washing my cameras all the time. It's all automatic. If you notice this, you're not always looking like this. You're blinking at times. And that's also automatic. I can't blink, you know, but in my will. But the blinking is automatic to make sure that the cameras are soft, moist, and filled with liquid. So let's go back into page number two here. A physical body can be likened to an automobile. I exist in my physical body on earth. There are times when I want to travel to different places. For instance, I can walk, but in order to save time, I get into a car that I then control and use it to take me wherever I wish. If someone sees my car, they don't identify the vehicle as me. Rather, they would distinguish me apart from my car and saying, there is John Terrell driving around in his car. When I'm done with my road trip, I turn off the engine, leave it where it's parked. The car is now dead for all intents and purposes. I enter it to the next time. So I have to be in my physical body on this earth. I cannot be here as a spirit. the human race have been limited to, we must have a physical vehicle. The moment you lose your vehicle, you are taken off the planet, either heaven or hell. God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and he alone possesses these attributes. Human beings and angels, holy and unholy, can only be in one place at one time. We do not have the capacity to split into separate parts like God. If I'm here today, I'm not in my bed. Or I'm not out driving on my car. I can only be in one place at one time. But God is different. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, all the time, in the entire universe. He can listen to a million people talking at the same time praying to him. And the Holy Spirit is able to hold a conversation with a million people at the same time. You know how difficult it is if you're over two people and you tell one, you know what, can you be quiet because I talked to this guy. Right? I can't talk to two people at the same time. You know that? We can't. But the Holy Spirit can. The soul is created with a single mind, does not have the capacity to split itself into multiple parts. Even if possible, each part would not have the ability to reason, make decision, and operate a separate entity or fragment. The soul is eternal, but it can still suffer damage. This creates hidden information that is stored in the subconscious mind of the soul brain, causing severe damage to the soul as well to the physical body. Let me try to explain that. People that have a car accident, they can remember everything to the accident, and then it's blank. The reason for that is that when my soul brain has a severe trauma, it takes that memory put into the subconscious mind, and I can't pull it up. It is too painful to remember. Now, the CIA, over the years, have been nasty people. And they have, I'm not going to read this, but they simply have tried to control people. And they do that by simply giving them electrical shocks, and then taking it off, and shooting it until the person is screaming in pain. And then they begin to give controls. So what they do is, they are placing demons in the person. And you can have, there have been assassins like this, where they are told, if you have a code word you hear, then you go and kill this person. And they get a phone call, whatever it is, the code word is spoken, and the person simply, okay, I'm going to do this or that, they just do it. The damages can cause the soul mind to deviate from normal behavior, and result in a person acting abnormal. The subconscious mind of the soul can be fractured in a distorted different traumas and closes those memories off from conscious part of the soul brain. Nevertheless, God has built in a protection system for the soul, so when a person is exposed to great trauma, the soul mind will send the memory of the trauma into the subconscious mind and block it from surfacing. And I talked about the car accident. Now, some psychiatrists unknowingly use demonic powers to access the blocked memories through hypnosis, which is actually a demon with the capability of entering the subconscious mind and forcing the memory to resurface. This is a spiritual violation of the soul, effectively bypassing the soul mind. And when a person is taken out of the hypnotic state, they will have no memory whatsoever of what just took place. And I'm sure that you've seen some of these shows they had on television where you have a guy hypnotizing, and he get a volunteer for the public come up, and he hypnotize him, and the guy, he can make the guy to do whatever it is, and then he wake him up, and the guy doesn't remember what he'd done. He acted like a fool, crawled on the floor and so on, but he can't remember it. As a teenager, I had a demon that simply used me to hypnotize people. I had one person I was working with in a factory, and so we were, I don't know how it started, but I looked in his eyes, and suddenly I got control of him, and I was just talking to him, I had him do things and so on. That was not me doing it, but that was a demon that I had inside of me that could hypnotize this guy, and I could pull things out. So hypnotism is using demonic powers to enter the soul, the privacy of a person. And it's spiritual rape. Let me repeat that. You hypnotize somebody, you are spiritually raping that person. On a summary over here now. The teaching of the soul brain is fractured into entities called altars of traumas, and mind control is unbiblical. These altars supposedly have their own personality, the power to reason, to make decisions, become independent from the original soul brain. If true, the split soul will be a quandrum, because God did not create the soul with the ability to split itself into independent parts, because if a soul could be split endlessly, which altar would Jesus save? You only have one soul. Now, my delivery ministry started in 1970, and during these years, I've counted split personalities caused by traumas, mind control, satanic ritual abuse. It is true that traumas inflicted great damage to the souls of these people, and that they manifested different personalities. But these personalities were not alters. They were demons who had attached themselves to the trauma damages and acted like they were different people living in the same soul. So demons will talk through a human being. Over the years, I've been successful in helping people discover and discuss the traumas of their lives. And if a person cannot remember, we have seen the Holy Spirit supernaturally reveal what happened. Removing demons from a person and praying for the healing of the soul has been the key to setting people free. A person only has to look at the traumatic events in his life, give them to Jesus, forgive the people that caused the trauma, and then ask the Holy Spirit to come and heal the broken soul. Let me flip now to page number 4. In Luke 4, 18 through 19, we read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's Luke 4, 18 through 19. Let's talk about stress right now. God created the soul and physical body to deal with the stress that is part of our daily lives. We are tied to the clock in order to accomplish the work we have to do on earth. To hold a job, we have to report to work at a certain time, finish assignments with a specific time frame. When we are not at work, there are appointments to keep, along with eating, resting, and recreation. If you are a parent, children will also keep you busy with their needs. Normally, Christians should start each day with the Lord and ask him for guidance throughout the day so that it will be productive but not stressed out to the point that it causes illness. Very few people start their days praying. Usually people sleep late, they sleep as long as they can. They get up, they rush and get off to work, and they do not prepare things in the spirit world. If you don't prepare in the spirit world, then demons will prepare things for you. You have to beat them. Normally, Christians should start each day with the Lord and ask Him for guidance throughout the day that you be productive, but not stressed out to the point that it causes illness. Dr. Macmillan, who wrote the book None of These Diseases, stated the following factor will cause undue stress and damage to the soul, which in turn will turn the adrenal gland to malfunction, overwork and fatigue, causes fear, hate, exposure to cold, heat and wind, accident, caused injuries, constant hurrying and being under tension. When you're stressed, you are producing hormones. And these hormones will cause damage. In other words, the body is functioning automatically. But when your soul gets upset, the soul will beat up your body. Let me repeat that. When your soul is upset, someone hurt you, someone said something, something took place, and with your physical body, you don't show anything, but inside of you, you're hurt, you're angry, you're upset, you can't change anything, and you are like a bad driver that has a fight with his wife at home, runs out, jumps in the car and drives off like a maniac and brakes and gasses us up and so very erratic driving. When you get upset and you don't deal with it, your body will pay the price. You can take medication, painkiller, you can take everything under the sun. You mask it, but your body is being damaged. Soul damage to the body. The average physical body is made up of 37 trillion cells. Each cell is like a factory taking in oxygen, water, and nutrients, which are used to maintain itself and do the work in the body that's been created to. There are constant chemical reactions in the cell, which are controlled by light. There is light inside of your body. They found out that cells communicate with light to each other and electricity. Cells communicate with each other through light and electricity, and the physical brain operates clusters of cells like kidney, heart, liver, itself by releasing chemical cells from different glands in the body and through electronic synapses. The nervous system in the body is an incredible electric cable work designed by God. We are very intricate built. When the soul, the real you, is disturbed, it creates negative feelings which in turn upset the electrical grid of the human body, and glands will then overproduce or underproduce chemicals. This causes different organs to malfunction, and the effect trickles down to the cellular level. Most people don't understand this. But when your soul is upset, it could be grieving over if someone died. It could be anger. You're pushed around. You lost a job. Whatever it is. Unless you quiet your soul, it will take your sleep away during the night. It will cause disease in your body. And your body is not going to function well. So we need to focus on the soul. Jesus did not pay The body doesn't sin. The body's not going to heaven. Jesus paid for your soul. That's what he paid for. And that's what's going to heaven. A cancerous cell is one that's been damaged and not operating according to the DNA code given by God. In a sense, it is rebelling when it begins to form a cluster of other cancer cells, which in turn grows into tumors and eventually kills the body. Cancer is rebellion. Cells have rebelled. And say we will not follow the DNA. I'm not going to be part of the heart. I'm not going to be part of a muscle. I'm not going to be part of this. I'm going to do my own thing. And then they build other cells. And eventually, tumors kill the body. And they die themselves. If you don't like yourself, if you have a self-hatred, your soul will create negative energy and it will kill the body eventually. A soul that's been wounded will attack the physical body that God has provided. And if the soul is not healed, does not have the demons removed, in time it will kill its host. And we read this. A sick soul, the real you, doesn't care about the physical body since it's filled with hate for itself and committing spiritual suicide. If you don't get your way, let's say that something happened. You didn't get that job you wanted. Or you didn't marry that person you wanted. And you're dissatisfied. Your soul is going to be unhappy. And instead of being joyous, here is anger, resentment. And you come to the place, I don't care. Let it rip. And that's a soul that is wounded, infested with demons, that simply freed this negative garbage. In Europe, there are now the seven countries, Holland is one of them, they now have allowed assisted suicide. If a person in Holland doesn't want to live, they can contact a doctor that is specializing in suicide. And they will set the day, and the doctor will come to the home and a person. He will inject poison, and the person will simply die. Sometimes what they do is they prepare it, and then the person drinks the poison themselves. Now, why does a person want to commit suicide? Because you don't want to deal with the issues you have. If you're sick, lots in pain, people says, I want to die. I had a member in this church some years ago that I talked about sickness, and the person told me this. If I get an incurable disease, I will use my gun and blow my brain out. I'm not going to lay there and linger for 6 months or a year. You and I don't have a right to take our own life. We belong to Jesus. God determines when the body dies. You don't. How do you help a person that has simply come to the place they don't want to live, they don't care about this or that? And how do you help them? Only the Holy Spirit can help them. Because the demons have entrenched themselves so much, there's so much hate and anger that you can't penetrate it. Only the Holy Ghost can penetrate. Post-trauma syndrome, PTSD. Mankind was not to live in a constant state of flight, fight, or flight. It is highly stressful, and that is precisely what warfare entails. No man is ever the same when they are brutalized in basic training and sent into combat. The fear and stress of being on the front line of combat base, attacked by artillery, airstrikes, mortar rounds, cause a deep soul wounds in the soldiers, medics, doctors, and nurses who are in the forward combat zones. Millions of men, women, and children lived through the American Civil War, and a large portion of the population lived with a post-traumatic stress disorder for the rest of their lives, except for those who came to Christ and received healing of their soul. The same holds true for tens of millions of American servicemen in World War I and II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The government did not recognize PTSD after two world wars and continued to ignore it during the Vietnam War. 55,000 Americans died in the battlefields of Vietnam. More than 100,000 have killed themselves at home. Vietnam vets have a very high suicide rate. Their souls were so damaged that they took their own lives. The same holds true for veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq. There are daily suicides among the men and women who can't forget the horrible things they've seen and experienced. Death seems to be the only relief, and Satan is having a great harvest. What a tragedy for these people that are not saved, commit suicide, and they realize life was bad on earth, but life in hell is worse. I talked to several veterans over the years, and they all told me that war experience was too painful to talk about, so they just keep quiet about it and suffer with the daily pain. The same thing with a person that is battling demons. They don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. That's not a person talking. That's the demons. They simply said, don't you dare to talk about it, because we might get kicked out. You don't have to have been in a war to have PTSD. It can come about as a result of a car accident, a painful divorce, living through an earthquake or hurricane. All these things can damage your soul and manifest the PTSD. Unsaved people and some Christians would turn to alcohol, legal and illegal drugs to drown out the pain for the wounded soul. But this is not the solution. It only makes the situation worse. There's only one healer on this earth, and his name is Jesus Christ. The first two steps to healing are salvation and deliverance in the name of Jesus. You will never be healed unless you admit that you have a soul problem and reach out for help. So let me summarize this now. You got a picture here on the last page here. I used that last week, and you can study that at home about the soul and how it works and so on. But here's what I want to tell you right now again. I'll tell you a second time. If you're sitting down and you're going to have, let's say, breakfast or dinner or lunch, you prepared a nice meal, and you're ready to sit down with your loved ones. The phone rings. You pick it up, and you get bad news. Somebody died. Somebody's in the hospital. Somebody had a car accident. Something happened. What happened to your meal? After the phone call, you lost your appetite. I don't feel like eating. It might be the nicest meal you wanted, and you just look at it. You don't want to eat it. Why? Because your soul got upset. And when your soul got upset, it destroyed your appetite. It destroyed your desire to eat. You got a bad phone call, and you're up all night. You can't sleep. You take pills, don't sleep that well. You got to remember this. You are the soul. If you have unresolved issues, your body is not going to do well. It's going to go sideways. And you can take medication. You can take pain medication, sleep medication. But that's not the problem. It's not the car. It's the driver. You can change oil in the car, change this, change that, wash the car, and so on. But if the driver is not doing good, it's not going to help. You got a bad driver. So you got to come to the realization, you are a spirit being living in a physical body. And if your spirit being is being disturbed, it will take it out on your car, your vehicle, your body. The doctors don't tell you this. Preachers don't tell you this because they don't know it. Or they don't want to know it. They know education. But deliverance, what we do is this. We simply eliminate all the things that demon can hang on. There are 92 curses in the Bible. 92 curses in the Bible where God said, if you do this, you are cursed. Just because you got saved does not take out the curses. Then you got ungodly soul ties. People that have been with outside of marriage, been intimate. You have soul ties. You got demons from that. That needs to be broken. Just because you get saved does not take care of that. You're forgiven, but you still got the problem. Then there's forgiveness. Jesus was very hard on this. He said, if you do not forgive people, I will not forgive you. God said this. Remember, I am a forgiving God, but if you will not forgive, I will not forgive you. And that's a bad place to be at. So we deal with forgiveness. And then we deal with traumas. How do you deal with the traumas? We have people simply write down a biography. And you go back and visit. We have people go back and visit what happened. Think it again. Bring it up. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to come in and wipe it out and to heal you. After we've done all these different things, we spend a week on that with a person coming here. The last day we cast out demons. It takes us about an hour to cast out the demons. And we spend almost a week preparing a person. But you can't remove the demons unless you have removed the grip they have on you. So what I want you to take home today is simply this. Realize that you are a spirit being living in a physical body. Now, you're responsible for what you put into your physical body. I don't have any diesel cars. If diesel is cheaper than gasoline, I'm not going to go down and put diesel in my gas car because I know it's not going to work. I'm going to ruin the engine. If I don't have oil for the transmission, I'm not going to put engine oil in my transmission. There's an oil for this, oil for that, oil for that. So we know that. So we take care of our cars so they run nice. Now, our government finally is going to take away all the colored dyes they've given us over the years. It's going to take them about a year to get it out of the system. You have the American corporations that prepare food like cereal and so on, pre-cooked food. There are two sets of food. One for the American consumer and one for the European consumer and for the Canadians. They have stricter rules. You can't have this in that. You cannot have red dye number 40. You cannot have these chemicals in there. In America, we don't have it. So the company says, well, let's give it to the stupid Americans. They're fat anyway and they're not doing well, so they might as well just kill themselves. Now, with Kennedy in, we talk about making America healthy again. Doesn't it make sense that if you eat something that has a lot of chemicals in it, it tastes good, but it's going to mess up your physical brain. It's going to mess up your cells. And then you wonder, I don't feel good. Well, you're stupid, that's what you ate. You can't process it. It's not for you. So we got to be smart. Jesus is there. He will help you. But you got to recognize, I got a problem, and I want to deal with it. We have taken so many people through deliverance. And I tell people this. It is hard to go through deliverance, but it is harder to keep your deliverance because your soul and the flesh says, well, you know, I need a little bit of caffeine, well, I need this, you know, but no one is going to know, that's not going to do any difference. And the demon said, yeah, that's right. Just do it. And you do it, and the demon says, thank you very much. I got a legal right now to enter your body and mess you up. It's hard to go through deliverance, but it's harder to keep your deliverance. What do we do? What I did is this. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize this in myself. I can't live the way I should. I need the Holy Spirit. I need to repent on a daily basis. I need to ask the Holy Spirit to help me. I can't afford to build up any grudges. I can't afford to be upset. I just could have had to wash it. If people want to do dumb things, I just let them do dumb things. But I got to watch what I'm doing. So you watch me today and you're not saved. What do you do? Well, here's the good news. God wants to save you. Confess that you are a sinner. Confess that you believe that God is, that Jesus is his son, that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, you can be saved. Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. And then simply say, Jesus, come on in and save me. Save me, Jesus. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And he will. When we finish here after the last prayer, the screen will change when you're watching. You will see three crosses coming up. And you would hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, he spent 10 minutes with you. Go through the Bible verses. Make sure that you're saved. You do that today, would you contact us? I'd like to rejoice with you and pray with you personally. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, go through this outline again. Think about what I said. And then don't be stubborn, but simply say this. Holy Spirit, show me what I need to do. And he will.
Well, John explained it all. I don't have anything to say. He said it all. No. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for what is spoken here today. And that as human beings out there in the world that are not walking with you, and you hear this message, and you want to take time out, and you want to think about, oh, maybe I can change my life. Maybe I can get healed. Yes, you can. But when you do it, mean what you do and receive what you're going to take in as far as the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and change your life. The Holy Spirit will change your life. But you got to seek him every day, every single day of your life. And you need to start with prayer in the mornings. Pray and ask God to help you and guide you through your day. And knowing that he will help you. Trusting, believing that he will help you. And you will be well on your way as a Christian serving the Lord. And knowing that he is the only way. This world has nothing to offer us. But God has everything to offer us. And the Holy Spirit dwells with us as you become a born-again Christian and saved. And it's a powerful thing to have the Holy Spirit walking with you and helping you and guiding you throughout your day. It does something to you. It helps you to change and helps you to be a better Christian. So I just pray that for each and every one of us here. I pray for that for each and every one out there watching the webcast and throughout the world. And just knowing that the Lord is there. He's ready to help. He's ready to guide. He's ready to direct your life. Is if you accept him as your personal, as your personal Savior, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will change your life. And definitely seek out everything that John has spoken here about the Holy Spirit, about the soul, about all the damage, and you will be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking his commandments. That's why he said we've all sinned and fallen short of his standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me. and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the fifth part in the series, A Study on the Holy Spirit, and was entitled Spiritual versus Physical. Humans are triune with a body, soul, and spirit. God designed the soul as an indivisible unit, meaning it cannot be split into different personalities. Soul fragmentation, or alters, are actually demonic attachments rather than soul divisions, and the outward manifestations are the different demons taking control of the person. The soul is eternal, retaining memory and personality after death. The physical body serves as a vehicle for the soul, similar to how a person uses a car. Traumas, mind control, and abuse can cause soul damage, but not literal fragmentation. An unhappy soul creates negative energy that disturbs the physical body, leading to disruption of the endocrine system and a chemical imbalance. Most diseases have their roots in a soul that is out of balance. Such prolonged disturbances often lead to sickness and death. Casting out demons solves the problem, and Jesus Christ is the ultimate source of healing and deliverance. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 2020. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time,
May God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.